Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Now, of course, I don't mean to scare anyone, but I'm pretty sure Asian murder hornets is something that we need to be worried about. They're buzzing around near Blaine, Washington right now, and I acknowledge very fully that I am not an expert, so we decided to actually talk to an expert to maybe talk me off the ledge a little bit on this. Washington State entomologist Dr. Chris Looney joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
So the New York Times this weekend had a write-up about essentially what's being called an Asian murder hornet. I know it's more of a nickname for the hornet, but obviously it sounds very scary. So before we dive into the issue here in Washington State, what can you tell us about this particular hornet?
First of all, we got to quit calling it the murder hornet. It's not murderous at all. It's just big and kind of scary and, you know, it has a potent sting, but so it's going to be the rare person that has to encounter it. It's a species of true hornet, almost all of which are restricted to Asia naturally. There's one that's common in Europe, the European hornet, Vespa carabro, that also occurs in eastern North America. It was introduced over 100 years ago, and it doesn't make it past the Mississippi. This is the largest hornet on Earth, the Asian giant hornet, the one we have detected in Blaine. They are celebrated, I guess you might say, or well known for their unique behavior of attacking social insects late in their colony cycle, particularly honeybees. Mm-hmm. And that is one reason we're really concerned about it. They will come in and wipe out a honeybee hive late in the season when they need the protein.
Well, and the way they go about doing it, according to the New York Times, some of the reporting I read, I mean, there's a reason, I suppose, why they're called a murder hornet, at least in that scenario. They're decapitating the bees, correct?
They sure do, yeah. So what'll happen is they'll feed on those bees earlier in the year. Like an individual hornet might fly by, hover around, grab a bee, bite its head off, chew up the rest of the body into what they actually call a meatball in the scientific literature, and then fly it back to their nest and feed it to the larva. And what happens in late summer, early fall, is they decide they're not going to bother with those adult bees anymore. They mark the hive, and then, you know, just a handful of hornets, maybe a dozen, will come in and just cut the bees' heads off, throw them to the ground, and once there aren't any bees left that can mount a defense of the colony, they wander around in that hive at will, plucking larvae and pupae out of those little beehive cells and taking them back to their own nest for food.
Oh, my God. So how rare is this kind of behavior in the insect world?
Yeah, it's pretty rare. There are a couple other species of Vespa that also attack social wasps, like some specialize in paper wasps, some specialize in attacking other Vespa, and then there are a couple that will attack bees. But there aren't many other insects that mount mass cooperative attacks on bees.
Would this be considered?
I would say no, but you know, there's a lot of insects out there, so there's a bunch I don't know about.
Sure. Would this be considered cannibalism? I mean, or is it because a hornet is not a bee?
They're totally different species.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're just joining,
predation.
Got it. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Washington State entomologist Chris Looney about the not-so-recent discovery, but semi-recent discovery of these giant hornets that are nicknamed murder hornets, but they don't necessarily murder human beings. Although, I think I saw also in the New York Times, or maybe it was in CNN, they are tied to a few dozen human deaths every single year, at least in China or Japan. So here they've been discovered in Blaine. What can you tell us about the discovery?
So we'd actually kind of been keeping our eyes open for it because there was some beekeeper reports in an actual nest found on Nanaimo, on Vancouver Island in Nanaimo, BC, that was destroyed in September. But we hadn't seen anything. We hadn't heard anything. And then in December, a homeowner in Blaine walked out their door, looked down on the ground, and saw an enormous insect that they had never seen before. They got it up on Reddit, and it made its way through the Invasive Species Council and down to us in agriculture. And it turned out it was a confirmed Asian giant hornet, which was bad. And then right around that time, we learned that a beekeeper a kilometer away had also found a specimen.
Wow.
So that's two workers found really near each other in the same fall period. And so that got the wheels of government churning very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government and the state and university and our department all started collaborating on ways we can survey for it, hopefully find it, and the goal is to eradicate it. I mean, we want this to not be in North America.
And
we're not shooting for management here. We're destroying it.
Well, and specifically you're doing that because you want to protect the honeybees, which have already had a sort of a tougher time in North America in the last decade or so.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to add another problem to beekeepers. I mean, they already have their hands full with varroa mites and trucking their bees all over the place for apples and almonds. We also don't even know what this might do ecologically. I mean, anytime you introduce a new species, it could have really negative effects. And so we want to avoid that, even if we can't predict them. And again, though the human health risk is relatively low compared to like all the other things we do, like falling off of ladders, maybe whatever, there's no reason to just accept that here's another thing that will kill 40 or 50 people a year. So for all three of those reasons, we want it gone.
And so are you certain that it would have a negative impact? Because obviously, whenever you go into anybody else's environment and ecosystem, certainly there can be an argument, I don't know what that would be, that maybe that's a benefit.
No, or it's not a benefit, at least kind of innocuous. Certainly there are some species that show up and they don't seem to do anything. So no, we don't know. But that's sort of the problem. We can't predict that very well. So it's better just to play it safe and make sure it's not going to get established. And we know it will be a problem for beekeepers. If it can establish, it's going to eat beehives. So
I'm terrified because it's scary looking. And I know that to you, as someone who studies this, it's not that terrifying, I suppose. But to someone like me, who already thinks the world is going to end as a result of a whole variety of different issues, I look at something that's a 2-inch long bee that looks like it belongs in an Avengers movie as a villain. I get kind of freaked out. And then the more I learned about what sort of attracts this bee, at least from a human perspective, it says sweat, sweet smells, and running.
Sure, but that is no different than the yellow jackets we already deal with. You know, they buzz around. Every once in a while you get stung, but for the most part, you don't live your life in mortal fear of yellow jackets, or at least you shouldn't. So, and none of your listeners should either. And I don't think that necessarily changes with this. The stakes are a little bit higher, because if you do stumble into a nest, like, that's bad, but that's somebody in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're not out like searching for humans, chasing down sweaty people and trying to sting them.
But you shouldn't run away from it, correct?
I think you should. Realistically, if you were to see one, you should back away a little, you know, slowly and stuff. But if they start stinging you, go away. Run away. Don't run into the traffic, but run away.
And so when it stings you, it's not like a bee. The stinger doesn't come off of the hornet and then it dies.
That's right. These can sting repeatedly, which is true of most stinging Hymenoptera.
What would that do? Obviously, it hurts, but does it have any sort of negative health impact?
Yeah. First, we'll start with the hurt part. Conrad, I forget his name, the beekeeper up in Nanaimo that actually eradicated that nest was stung several times through his beekeeping suit and a layer of sweatpants. I mean, so he was sort of well-equipped and still stung through it. And he said it felt like having red-hot thumbtacks driven into his skin over and over again.
Oh, my God.
So, ouch. The venom is fairly strong. It's not necessarily the strongest venom of all the stinging Hymenoptera or something like that, but because they're big, you get a lot of it if you get stung. It can cause localized tissue necrosis, so your tissue can actually kind of decay around or dissolve, I guess is a better way to say it, right around that sting. And if you get enough of the venom, it can actually have kidney and heart implications for people. So of those 50 or so people they say die a year in countries where it's endemic, some of them die just from anaphylactic shock, and then some of them die from being stung a bunch of times.
Are entomologists genuinely of the belief that this is still a very regional issue, that it's not in other parts of Washington State or really even the United States?
Yeah, that's what we're working from and what we think, but we don't have a lot of information to support that. We just don't know. It's really frustrating to try and manage this or eradicate the species when we don't know, but there's no reason to believe that it's outside of Northwest Washington.
Well, and another point that you had made, I watched one of your YouTube, I don't know if it was a seminar, it was a presentation of some kind. You're not entirely sure how the bee got to North America, but you have a belief that possibly, if not likely, it came because someone brought it here, perhaps as food.
Yeah, you know, that was sort of in a discussion session of that. Yeah. That's really kind of an exaggeration. It probably came on cargo. That's the most likely way. It fits with the biology of the insect and it can overwinter at night. I just brought that up as there are lots of different ways things show up in the United States. We know some of our grape pests were actually brought here by people, you know, not on purpose, but on accident with grapes. There have been two instances where people have been intercepted at airports with live larvae. So it's possible, but it's really unlikely.
Well,
first of all, you know, to get a bunch of larvae here and then have them survive and to maturity is pretty core. The real traveling part of the life cycle will be the mature queens.
Yeah. Well, it's but also completely terrifying for a variety of reasons. You've helped calm me down just a little bit, but I do want to point out, because you're so used to this sort of stuff, I think you have a somewhat different stomach for these types of stories.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up afraid of spiders, and I've had to learn that basically every spider has zero interest in me.
Yeah.
And that's hard, but, you know, your brain can overcome.
Yeah. Well, maybe your brain can. I'm not sure mine can. And by the way, if you want to actually look at some photos of this hornet, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my story on this. We've been talking with Washington State entomologist Chris Looney. Dr. Looney, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
You guys take care out there.
You as well. You have been listening to The Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro, right here on KTTH.